Finally, this hour, we're going to hear about one of the most successful collaborations in the history of hip-hop. The Wu-Tang Clan featured 9 different rappers when it debuted in 1993, and they are the focus today in our series on creative partnerships. Joel Rose has their story.
There's a moment on the Wu-Tang Clan's classic first album when the members are talking to an interviewer, and they compare themselves to the after-school cartoon Voltron, in which 5 robot lions combine to form 1 invincible warrior.
And the jizz of the genius is just the genius. He's the backbone of the whole joint.
He the head. Let's put it that way. We form like Voltron, and the jizz happen to be the head. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
like yeah. Voltron, the voices of the Wu-Tang Clan seem to fit together seamlessly.
Smoking Joe Frazier, the Hellraiser, raising hell with the flavor, terrorize the jam like troops in Pakistan, swinging through your town like your neighborhood Spider-Man.
There were so many different diverse voices sort of coming at you at once, very aggressively, but at the same time, it was one voice.
Sasha Jenkins is a writer and producer. In the early 1990s, he was the editor of a hip-hop fanzine called Ego Trip, when a friend played him a tape of the first Wu-Tang single.
It didn't feel like a lot of guys. That sort of sensibility and that energy just spoke to the chemistry that these guys had, and I believe the hunger that they had to sort of change their environment and change their situation.
The Wu was too slamming for these coke killer labels, so ain't had hit since I seen Aunt Mabel. Be doing all the sinning like Kane did Abel. Now they money's getting stuck to the gum under the table. That's what you get when you misuse what I invent. Your empire falls and you lose every cent.
Most of the Wu-Tang Clan's members grew up in Staten Island. Taking inspiration from martial arts movies, they named themselves after a fictional sect of Chinese swordsmen, and they adopted an ethic of loyalty to one another that was born out of necessity and experience. Mitchell Diggs is the CEO of Wu-Tang Corporation. He's also the brother of Robert Diggs, better known as RZA, the clan's producer.
Me and RZA, we came from a large family, 11 siblings. We was very pretty much familiar and used to how to balance out that many people at one time.
Both Diggs and his brother had been signed as rappers to major labels before assembling the Wu-Tang Clan, and both had put out solo records that flopped. For the Wu-Tang to succeed, Diggs and RZA had to persuade the other rappers to put the group first, at least for a while. Mitchell Diggs says it wasn't easy.
The biggest thing was, how the hell do you feed 9 people off of 1 deal? You know, we laughed about it. But it was something that we thought about. You know, we knew that we had to create solo careers.
The Wu-Tang Clan signed with 1 record company, but their contract made sure each member had the freedom to make his own solo records. That was good for morale and for business. When the Wu-Tang Clan's first album sold 1 million copies, all of its MCs were able to cash in, including Lamont Hawkins, who performs as U-God. Hawkins says the Wu-Tang Clan did something together that none of its members could have done alone.
We come from nothing. And we made something out of nothing. We was trying to create our own industry, our own brand, our own situation. You know what I'm saying? So it's like an industry was being built inside of an industry.
The Wu-Tang Clan made millions of dollars selling clothing and video games. But success wasn't always sweet. Founding member Old Dirty Bastard died of a drug overdose. The other rappers built careers as solo artists or branched out into acting and film scoring. When the Wu-Tang Clan came back together to record, the arguments were inevitable. But Mitchell Diggs says the group found a way to resolve them.
When there's tension and dudes are beefing and there's whining, we know we have sit-downs. We go through 50 songs and say, what did you don't like? And then we tweak them. And if you still don't like it, then guess what? You're not on that song no more. Excuse my French for cursing, but get out the way. We like the way the song is and leave it alone.
Occasionally, the Wu-Tang's internal disagreements have gone public, as they did during the making of the Clan's 2007 album, 8 Diagrams.
Old man told me don't be blind to deception, only chop of affection, homie, your mind is a weapon.
Relax, you got your muscles tight. Relax.
Rapper Raekwon complained about RZA's atmospheric production style to an online journalist.
RZA's trying to create too much of an orchestra, piano. This is not the vibe I want.
Right.
But it's his vibe.
You.
It's his vibe. It's like he's like a hip-hop hippie right now.
Raekwon is using other producers on a solo album that's due out later this year. RZA is not appearing on the Wu-Tang Clan's current tour because he's in Asia directing a martial arts movie. But his brother, Mitchell Diggs, says the Wu-Tang members generally do get along. And to make their partnership work, he insists they all share a single dressing room on the road.
If you can't get in the room, you're going to come on that stage unfocused. You're not going to have the chemistry. Keep the friends and family out and give them the dress room so they can meditate, stare at each other. Even if they got to argue for 10 minutes, get it off their chest. And when you hit that stage, you're one body.
A partnership more like the Chinese swordsman who inspired them than most people expected. For NPR News, I'm Joel Rose. My people saw you with me where you at, smoking meth, hitting cats on the block with the gap.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.